Okay, sorry. Take two. We are starting Hilchos Dam today and blood. So I just want to point out, we just finished reading the last siman, but basically whatever we covered in the last siman was referring to chaylev. Whatever we're now this siman, the next few simanim, we're going to be discussing dam. So I just want to point out number one. I kind of just read over it a little bit quickly, I think. The Rama in Samach Dalet Tet Vav, so he writes the word Tabchaya towards the beginning of the Rama. So just if you're wondering, the Tabchaya is also the same thing as a Karkasha, and it means a colon, the colon, the end of the testes. And there's a blood vessel, there's a chut over there, a chut, a blood vessel, those are often removed. The minhag, he said, was to remove them. Again, I'm not sure if it's done nowadays or not, but that was the minhag, to remove it because of chaylev. So that's that. And the Gemara in Chulin, Tzadi Gimel, so if you look it up, it points out there are five chutim and five krumim, the Gemara says, and three of them are because of chaylev, and two of them are because of dam. So I'll just list them for you, because it's just good to see them in contrast, because it's a little bit from we read it, and now we're going to continue with dam. So the three that are chaylev, the chutim and the krumim, the blood vessels and the membranes, it's the iser of eating it is chaylev. That's the tachol, the spleen, the klayot, the kidneys, and the ksalim, the flanks, the muscle on the side. That's for both of them. They have membranes and they have blood vessels. When it comes to dam, the blood, so the two chutim that are aser because of dam are the yad, which is the zroa. It's the same thing. Basically, you have a nice size blood vessel going down from the shoulder to the first two, maybe the third, but certainly the first two bones. That's what's called the yad or the zroa. The yad technically includes all three bones. You know, we humans basically have two bones that we're familiar with, two long arm bones with the elbow in the middle, and then our hand. But the animal, it's more like three. The hand is more like another, a third bone, just as comparison. So anyways, starting in the shoulder all the way down, the yad or zroa, that's one. And the l'chaim, the jaws. So the jaws have several blood vessels. And the two krumi membranes that have a din of dam is the beitzei zachar, the testicles, and the moach, the brain. And the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina? If it's chaylev or if it's dam. So dam, you can kasher it. You can use salt. You can roast it. But chaylev, there's no way to kasher. Ein lo takana, you have to remove it completely or wash it away. So remove it and then wash the meat, right? Oh, we learned that yesterday. So that's the nafkamina. Right, so just to explain, how can a, so with this we mentioned, how can a blood vessel be aser midin chaylev? Because the blood on the inside is dam, but it means that chaylev is slippery and greasy, and it travels down on the outside of the blood vessel. So the blood, if it's aser mishum chaylev, it's because of not the inside of the blood vessel, but the outside, really. That's that. I'm just going to give a really short intro on understanding a little bit about dam, and then we'll do that today, and then we'll save. We're going to have a few simanim on dam, so I'll save something else, like we're going to discuss which animals, that's in Samach Vav. We're going to discuss some reasons for dam and what's done nowadays. But let's just have a short intro in dam in general, and then we will move to continuous siman Samach Hey. So, three, it's important to understand definitions. There's basically, you can categorize it in a couple different ways, but let's say there's three basic types of dam. Number one, dam hanefesh. Number two is dam tamtzit. Number three is dam evarim. So let's explain. Dam ha-nefesh, that's the dam that when an animal is being killed by losing its blood supply, when the blood squirts out, that gushing blood is called dam ha-nefesh. It's the blood that's taking the life away from the animal. Life is in that blood, and that's called dam ha-nefesh. And you can see Kritos, the first Mishnah, Perakeh, in the Gemara over there. So it doesn't matter if it's done through shechita, right? Kosher shechita. It doesn't matter if it's done through nechira or ikor, whether you're stabbing or ripping, or hakaza. Even if you're just doing bloodletting, but it's a slow process, but the bloodletting is killing the animal. All these cases of blood are dam ha-nefesh. And so what's the significance? Dam ha-nefesh is your chayev, not just a lav, but you're also kares. If you have a kazayit of it, it's kares. Why a kazayit? Usually drinks are revit, because the pasuk says achila, and that's the that's what Chazal give the shear for dam. Not only if it's congealed, even just drinking blood, either way, it's a kazayit. Okay. Second category, dam tamsit. What is that? After the initial gushing or squirting of blood, where the life comes out of. So then, from the word of tamsit, has to do, I guess, with a little bit of constricting, but it refers to the blood that's draining or oozing. Any of the blood that's draining and oozing after the initial is called the dam tamsit. This is a lav, it's a deraisa, but we don't get kares for this one. Okay? Third category is dam evarim. This is another category where there's a lav, but there's no kares. Dam evarim is blood. It's basically, it's not the dam hanefesh, and it's not the dam tamsit, although they're quite similar in some ways. But the dam evarim is the blood that is in the muscle, or most of the blood vessels, or that pools inside the heart, or inside the spleen or kidney. Any pooling of blood, right? A blood vessel. Any pooling of blood, or that's in the muscle, that's there, is called dam evarim. Now, for dam evarim, if it's a pool of blood, like in a blood vessel, or it collects inside the heart, so then if one drinks from it, it's 100%. They did an aver of a lav, over, that's clear. But if it's in the muscle, in the flesh, if it's absorbed in there, then it happens to be it's mutter to eat the dam evarim if it's still inside the muscle. That's called shalop piresh, it didn't leave. But once it moves around and leaves, so then it becomes aser. So dam evarim could be mutter, it could be an iser lav. All right, depends what it is. Okay, so that's the main thing we need to know. And just as an aside, you can look in Sefer Chinuch or other places. Basically, there's one lav for having dam, but it is mentioned numerous times. We discussed dam and nefesh, but also I think they say there's five times mentioned, but so it could refer to dam chulin. It applies to if one eats the dam of a regular animal, nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, or it could be kochim. If one has dam from kochim, it's also a lav. Dam kisui, any blood that was used for covered up with kisui adam, and then it gets revealed, it's also, there's still a lav. I'm not saying you need another limud for it, but that's what it's ascribed to, the extra time that it's written. It's not five lavin, it's one lav, but five different scenarios where you might not think. The other one is evarim or tamtzit. That's just one explanation for that. Okay, so let's go on to reading Aleph. Seif Aleph. Samachay Aleph. Yesh chutim she'asurim mishum dam. There are some blood vessels that are asur because of blood. Shebahem kegon. Dam shebehem, is it the blood that's inside of them? Kegon, such as chutim shebiyad, the vessels that are in the arm, or the same thing, yad zroa. Zroa generally means the top two bones, and the yad generally means all three bones. The shibe katef, or the vessel that's in the shoulder. The shibe lechi atachton, shibe tzad alashon mikan, umikan, or in the mandible, on each side of the tongue, you have a nice-sized blood vessel. Ubelashon, in the tongue itself, ubitzavar, and in the neck. I'm just going to stop here for one sec to point out that if you look in the Gemara, the post can point out, if you look in the Gemara, it really only discusses three main categories, the yad, l'chaim, and in the neck. And pretty much whatever we said until now is in those. That's in the Gemara. The other chutim that we're about to read, you won't find in the Gemara, but you will find it in the Rambam or in some Rishonim. The Rashba says it's not, you don't have to worry about it, but let's see. Okay. Because it's relevant for if you have to cut it or not for Malicha. So we're going to see. The chute halev, and the blood vessels around the heart. The chute haoketz, and that's near the tailbone. I don't know the exact name for it, but if you look, I took pictures. I forgot to send it out. Right after the shir, I'm going to send out some pictures. You can look at it in Sichas Chulin, but I'll send it out. And it's just good. You'll see some of the body parts, chelev and especially dam. And okay. V'chuti adakin, then there's blood vessels around the intestines. Sheheim b'toch shuman adakin, and it's intertwined with the shuman. Kamo beit achavish mesuvachin ze bazeh. Mesuvachin ze bazeh. It's like a webbed design of blood vessels. Okay. All right, so when the Gemara says just these, the initial three categories, does it come in to be only those three? Or does it really mean those are just examples? All right, so that we just said that's a machloket we shown you. Okay, but the Shulchan Aruch is machmer and it goes with all of them. Haga, v'nohagin lahasir gam kein chut aroch etzel hachazeh mi bifinim. Lahasir gam kein. I don't have gimel chutin. You have gimel chutin? Or the gimel is not referring to another anose kelim? I don't know. You have gimel? Yeah, you both have gimel. I have chut aroch. Okay, anyways, so there is one or three or several vessels that some have the minhag to remove. Okay, maybe when we do the live shechita, if you remember, we'll home in on if it's done or not. Okay, so that's in front of the chest. There's also blood vessels around the ears. And it's only a chumra ba'alma, because those blood vessels are very thin. And you see this in a couple times. When it's really thin, they say it's not really blood, it's just called shuman. So I think it means it just has the din of shuman and or dam evarim inside the shuman or inside the basar. So if it would leave, it'd be a problem. But as long as it stays inside, you can just salt it as is, like the rest of the meat, and you don't have to worry about it. Okay, let's read on. I'll just think it may be obvious, but maybe not. The Shach points out in the very beginning that when we speak about the blood vessels in the neck, so even though you shecht, when you shecht and you get both of them two main veins, the two main vridin when you do shechita, even if you do that, we still have to worry about all these chutin, because it's still far enough away and it still pools inside these large vessels. Right. Anyways, in the Taz Beis Yosef, you see, it's called Shumna Be'almahim. So, okay. Anyways, it's you don't have to worry about it. Let's keep reading. Ukrum Sh'al HaMoach, and the membrane on the brain, Shebekadkad, in the skull, Ukrum Sh'al HaBeitzim, and the membrane that's on the testicles, Umelicha Lo Mehani Behu. So this is why it's really relevant, we said. But it doesn't help just to do Melicha, to eat these parts. If you don't cut them first. So that's why it's important to know which veins you need to take care of. You need to cut these before you do melicha. Okay, haga v'chatuch atachat. So it's this Rama is a kuli alma. It's not just the Rama, but it's from the Gemara. You see the Gra from the Gemara in Sadi Gimel, where it talks about when you want to salt the head of a sheep. It just means, what does that mean, latachat? It means wherever you cut it from, it needs to be downwards, latachat. It just means you have to have, so this way when you're salting it, it can pull, it draws and out the blood and then drains downward to the ground and not drains into itself. We're going to see, when you do melicha, you have to make sure you do melicha over some kind of a, in Hebrew they call it a reshet, and it's not, it would either be a super tight screen that's not going to collapse, but it means like a grill or a grate. Some kind of, you know, it could be what you use your dishes on type of thing. You should use the same one or not, okay, that's another question. But the idea is when you're draining the blood, right, we don't usually salt at home, but when you are salting, if you were to do it, you have to make sure that it has holes or a slope so that it can drain outwards and not pool inside. So that's what that means. V'achar kach yimocham, and then you salt it. V'hane mili levashlam b'kedera. Now, when is it necessary to cut them and salt them? That's if you want to cook it, right, into a pot with water and it doesn't drain out anywhere. Aval letzli einam tzrichim lo chaticha velo melicha mishum denura meshev shayev perush she'iva. But if you're going to do tzli, the halacha is, you don't have to cut it, and you don't have to, none of the blood vessels, even if they're deep inside, you don't have to cut them, and you don't have to salt them. Everything, because of the fire, it draws it out. The Meshav Shayev means it pulls it draws it out. And then it just drips down. Now, V'yesh Misha Omer, there is an opinion that says, Edavka kesha penea chutim al penea ish. This is only true if the blood vessels that we're concerned about are on the surface, so that the fire is right next to them to draw them out. But if they're deep inside the meat, or whatever, inside the meat, I'm not sure how deep, maybe anything. Then the fire doesn't draw it out unless it's basically right, getting the direct heat from the fire. Once it's covered up by the muscle, then that's not okay. That's the Yesh Mishomer. Haga, v'imlo natlan, and if you didn't remove them, ubishlam, below chaticha, and then, so you didn't remove them, and then you cook them. I think we're talking about you salted them without cutting them, and now you want to cook them. Ubishlam, below chaticha. So then, tzarech shishim neged kol achutim. Then you need to have shishim keneged all the chutim. Kubetzli sage beklipa. And when it comes to the tzli, then you still have to be machmer with the tzli, that you still have to remove kedei klipa. Okay, so that's based on a more strict opinion in the Rishonim. Now, the Taz points out that it's a chumra ba'alma to remove the klipa when it's roasted. Right? And he quotes the Rashal that says you don't need to. And the Gaonim also says, lechatchila, you don't have to do this. It seems like he's arguing. One second. Right, the Shach also says it's just a chumrah ba'alma, and right. So he argues as well, and he says umidina shari kedat rov aposkim, that with tzli, if you didn't cut it, it's fine. So, well, I'm not positive. You can see it yourself. B'di'evid certainly meko. L'chatchila, he might agree with the Rama, if you see the end. Okay, so we'll leave that. Okay. So, yeah, good question. So, lechatchila, do you need to cut it when you do tzli? Tzarechim. Okay, not 100% clear. So the liver, you have to. We're going to get there later. We're talking about these chutim, if you must, if it's tzli, if you have to or not. Okay, I believe it's a machloket achronim, and we'll see. Okay. I think that's fine. So let's go on to bet, right? Sign. Yeah, let's read bet. Harotze letzeit yidzei chatichat chutim. Elu. Lo yismoch al chatichat habasar, ela yachtoch habasar via etzem lishnayim. Okay, so this, it's not a din in the Gemara. It's not like a din or a gzera. It's a strong suggestion. I mean, it might become din, but this is, that depends how you understand. This comes from several of the Rishonim, the Rambam, the Ravid, and the Rashba. I think Rabbeinu Hananel as well, I think that's who's the Shach quoting, that when you want to cut the chutim, it's not enough just to cut them with that's inside the meat. You have to also cut through the bone, because that's the only way to guarantee that you cut them, because they can move around, they could be stuck to the bone. So if you want to cut the vridim and you just aim to cut into the meat and then stop, it's possible, again, I'm not sure how likely, but it's certainly possible to miss the vessel. It'll get stuck there and be attached or very flat against the bone, and it's possible to miss it. Therefore, you should not rely on, right, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens, you should not rely on cutting only the meat, eli yachtocha basar veha etzem lishnayim. That's the only way to make sure you got the blood vessel, is if you go all the way through all the meat and all the bone, and then you know you got it. Haga, v'chutei hatzavar lo mahani behu im chatcham rak shechtocha mafreket lishnayim. Same thing with the neck. You want the only way to make sure is you go all the way through the vertebrae and the spine in the neck. I'll go all the way through. Okay. Let's read Gimel. Yeah. You want to stop or go? Mic over. Gimel. Gafa of. Here, let's just read this one. It goes together. Gafa of. We're talking about the bones, right? So this is and we discussed the arms. So by a bird, it means the whole wing. Okay? So you'll see in the picture. The blood vessel goes throughout the whole, at least in the picture it does. If you look in the Shach, he quotes the Maharshal who says, I don't know, we don't really see these blood vessels to worry about it. So we'll explain in a moment. Let's keep reading. Gaf ha'of ki yad behema. So it's analogous to the arm of the animal. V'hilkach, therefore, just like we learned, you need to cut all the way through by meat, by bones, by an animal. Hilkach tzarich lachtoch etzem agapayim ulamolcham v'chein etzem alachayim ba'of. So you have to cut through the bone of the wings, and you have to cut through the mandible. Haga, v'yesh omrim, she'en tzrichel mito ba'of chutim elu mishum shedakin him. Now, the Yesh Omrim in the Ramah points out the minhag that you do not need to cut the bone and the blood vessels when it comes to chickens. Right? I think he's going to say, but it's very thin. V'adam yotzem hem ayde milicha. It's very thin, and we know that the blood comes out with milicha. You don't have to worry about it. Right? A little bit idea of the, I think the same, that would be the same thing, I think, as the ears we mentioned. V'chen ha-minhag she'ein notlin mina of shum chutin. The minhag is not to worry about blood vessels, cutting them in chickens. Rak chutei atzavar. Only the certain ones in the neck. Uba'otan yesh lizar liyam yisham oyechtacham ima mafrechet lishnayim. So really, you should remove them or cut the whole neck bone. Miu b'diavid yimusa rak harosh min osage. But b'diavid, if you just chop off the whole head, that works. V'noagin lachtoch b'yarchei ofet b'perek harakuva tachtona mishum shlifamim nimtzaim. Chutim adumim beragli ha'ofot. Now there is a minhag that to cut the last little bit of the legs, I think that's pretty much right beyond where we normally eat from. So that's, but it might be in the middle. Okay, whatever. There's a spot there that we often cut because we often see a red blood vessel. But if you didn't, it's mutter b'dyavad. It's just a minhag. I feel a nidbash l'kach, even if you already cooked it, it's fine. Alfa pisha nimtzu chutim adumim she'enu ela shuman be'alma. Because even if you see after you cooked it, it's actually red, we call it a shuman be'alma. Now I'll just point out the Kaf HaChaim says the Sfardim are mekel like the Ramah in this case, where we don't worry about cutting for chickens, except the minhag is to cut the very end of the wing, and I'm not sure if that's done nowadays. But he said, and the minhag in Baghdad is they cut all the etzem. Even if they pulled out all the bones, they actually chopped every etzem in half. And the Shach, this really interesting, points out that he quotes the Drisha, who says, how could the Ramah be so mekel? And so the Shach says that it's very common that we have a machloket rishonim. Sometimes the minhag is like a minority opinion. That's just sometimes how it evolves, and that's fine, and especially when it makes more sense to you. Anyway, he says that's the minhag of Pashut, that we do not cut chickens.